A reading from Acts. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that moment, three men, sent to me from Caesarea, arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Alleluia, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord among the angels, sing praise all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon, sing praise all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created.
May them stand fast forever and ever, giving them the law who shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempest and wind, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
A reading from Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified. God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the hardest things I've had to learn to discern in life is knowing when to get out of the way. For example, there have been times with the best intentions I'm trying to ensure that my kids will succeed at whatever task they're doing. But it isn't until I get out of their way that they can become successful at times. I'd say the same is true in ministry. Wanting to ensure that something will be accomplished, living into our mission, it's happened successfully when I know when I myself need to get out of the way. This isn't wisdom. It's realization. You ever have those moments where it's like, wait a second. I'm the one that's in the way here. I'm the problem. Peter's words today in our first lesson, I believe, really speak to this. Realizing that Gentiles are now included in a very radical way. Realizing that what he thought was once unclean, God has now made clean. He says those words, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" The good news is that even if we are in God's way, even if we try to get in God's way, we don't have enough power to hinder God in the end. Yet knowing when to get out of the way is still important. Sometimes we can be a hindrance to people growing and flourishing in the faith. Sometimes we can be a hindrance to people who are curious about the faith. Being a hindrance can sometimes be with the best of intentions. Other times it's due to our sin and brokenness. And that's what exists in the life of the church. It's done intentionally sometimes, and sometimes it's done unintentionally. And though we all fall short of the glory of God, that's no excuse. Jesus' commandment is to love one another as he has loved us. That must be our compass. That must be our foundation. That must be what drives us as followers of Jesus Christ. What can exist more often than not in the church is gatekeeping, sadly, or moral policing. we can have some empathy here for Peter. And there are boundaries, there are standards, there are expectations when following the way of Jesus, absolutely. But how do we find that balance? How do we discern that? Because there are churches, I think you and I would agree, that draw the lines in all the wrong places. But then what does it mean to have no lines at all? Right? What are the guardrails of our faith? And that's what we see unfolding in Acts of the Apostles. So we can take comfort in that that discernment has always been part of the church, of living into the church. Who and what and how it all comes together. Who belongs? How do they belong? But we must not be hindered by our own laws. We must not be hindered by our own way of doing things. That's when we are in the way in those instances. We might think we're it's most helpful, but it's really not. When someone from the outside, a newcomer, is coming into the congregation, are they always welcomed? Is it cause for a celebration? Or is the effort to ensure that they conform to our way? I know it says it in our hymnal. I might say it in our bulletin too, but when it is the Spirit that we believe gathers us for worship, right? The Spirit has brought us together. Well, when a newcomer walks into a congregation, the Spirit has brought them there too. They desire to hear and learn and be transformed by the Word of God. But in our sinfulness and brokenness, we might think, well, that's not good enough. We might be legalistic in our way of doing things. We might not be as open to a new point of view or perspective from someone from the quote-unquote outside gathered with us through the Holy Spirit, hungering to feast on the Word. You may remember a number of years ago we had Pastor Paul Hoffman here who did some workshops on the adult catechumenate, an ancient formation process for newcomers into the faith. It focused on us growing in faith together. It was a process of formation and not for longtime Christians simply giving information to newcomers or new Christians. The ancient process is grounded in that mutual formation, that they have something to share with us and we have something to share with them. We are growing in faith together. And even before Peter's realization, he approaches the law as something to be honored, and rightfully so. Torah is teaching, it's instruction. And in a similar way, our own processes and procedures were not intended to be a buzzkill, but to keep us faithful. Boundaries, standards, and expectations all are very important. Yet what we need to discern is how can they become distorted? How can they become barriers and hindrances where we end up building a wall and then making a distinction between insider and outsider, between member and non-member? We should all take some comfort and discernment in the fact that this discernment is old as the church itself. Who belongs and how they belong? That's the question we wrestle with. When we are focused on our own distinctiveness, focused on our own system, focused on people conforming to our way more than them conforming to the way of Jesus, that's when we have a problem. Focused on our distinctiveness. Notice after I read the gospel, I say, beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our world. I don't say those who have been a member here since birth, and those who are newcomers, or those who have been Christians your entire life, and those who are just newly baptized, there's no distinction, right? Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Who belongs and how they belong is the question we wrestle with. Well, is that up to us? How do we belong? How are we made clean? We belong and are made clean through the love of Christ, love magnified and poured out for us on the cross. Jesus is the Redeemer of the world. What once was lost is now found. What once was profane is now clean by what God does, not by what we do. We are baptized with water, and through the Holy Spirit, we are included into the family of God. It's a radical inclusion. It gives us a glimpse of what is all to come. I mean, think about what we do here. God bathes us through baptism, and then every week we're invited to God's house. We're invited for a visit with our Lord, who comes to us through the means of grace, of word and sacrament. Think about what you do when you go over to your friend's house. Do you go in and just rush to the dinner table right away? Do you visit for a while? You come in, you greet one another, right? Don't we greet each other in the liturgy, right? We tell stories. We share stories, right? Like what we do when we hear the word. And then we have a meal. We're fed and nourished, welcomed and loved. And we go on our way. Radically welcomed into God's family. God invites us. God comes to us. When Jesus is telling his disciples, love one another as he has loved them, I'm sure they're reflecting in some way. Did we choose to follow him, or did he come and find us? This invitation that we receive now is because he brought us on this journey. The invitation that we all hear is because God has brought us into this journey, has brought us into this family. Love one another as I have loved you. How does Jesus love you? Well, you notice I've been focusing on worship when we reflect on Revelation during Easter season. Where do you hear God's love? When you gather through at worship, right? When you come up for Holy Communion. I love that Lutherans in particular will say that the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, you as an individual, unique, beautifully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God, yes, that is for you. But as you walk back to the pew, if you keep your ears open, it's not just for you, right? You could hear an echo of for you, for you, for you, for you. Love one another as I have loved you. There's enough to go around. And it's a word in which God reaches out, welcomes us, and loves us, and sends us on our way. What are we called to do then in the world? God came to us and God comes to us. What we hear in Revelation today rubs up against that rapture theology, doesn't it? Where we just escape to heaven and disappear? God's coming down, folks. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. And then we hear later on in that reading, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, seeing, I am making all things new. We get a glimpse of it here, folks. We get a foretaste of the feast to come. And we're sent out to love in the same way we have just been loved over and over and over again. Washed, forgiven, and fed. Pastor Sarah Scherzinglite writes the following. It gives me even more comfort to know that the question isn't actually ours to answer. This is going back to the sense of belonging. The heart of Christianity is never what we do. It's what God does. The community of God's people doesn't spring up from our activity. It comes from God. Peter's vision was, after all, from God and not of his own making. As long as we err on the side of love and stay open to the Holy Spirit's guidance, we follow the commandment Jesus gave the community formed in his name, to love one another. So people will know we are his disciples. Christianity is not meant to be a religion that is full of hindrances. The good news is good news that liberates and frees us. It's sin that holds us captive. It is sin that keeps us in bondage. It's the gospel that frees us. It's the gospel that gives us a promise that we have been made clean through the cross, and that has set us free. We're not called to be perfect. We're not called to get it all right. We're not called to be gatekeepers or the moral police. Yes, we have standards. Yes, we have boundaries. Yes, we have convictions and expectations. It's not a free-for-all. But our life and actions must be grounded in the commandment, love one another as I have loved you. That is dogma and doctrine that we don't hear enough about. That has to be our center. We need to get out of the way and let the love of Christ flourish. We need to get out of the way and embrace that invitation to share the love of Jesus with others. May we get out of the way and follow the way of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.